Bibles and look to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. We have a little bit of a different schedule. It's just a broken up schedule over the next 4 to 5 weeks here. We'll have regular services tonight. We'll have regular services next Sunday, of course, with Easter, Resurrection Sunday coming up. We'll end the day. We'll go all morning from 8 to we're done. Maybe noon, I don't know. But then we will we'll meet back the following Sunday, which is the first Sunday in April. So no, we'll have our fellowship meal for the Sunday evening service, but no preaching service. So I've got 4 weeks here that I want to spend dealing with a particular subject, but it's not going to be 4 weeks in a row. So you're going to have to pay very close attention, take good notes, so you don't lose anything as we go through this. Now, I'll deal with this at the end of the service. We'll go from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye may learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for against one another." I want you to go back to verses 1 and 2 here and notice what Paul is telling this church at Corinth. He said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we come to you. We're grateful for what you have just given to us through your holy word. God, you have preserved it. You've kept it for us, God, that we might study it, that we might be approved before you. And God, I pray that as we go through the next several weeks, as we go through this series of messages, God, may it bring honor and glory to you, that we might understand the account in which we will give to you at that final day. And help us through it, help us with it, that we might all be the best stewards that we can possibly be. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Tonight I want to talk about and introduce the subject of stewardship. As we introduce this subject, we're going to look again at four different aspects of stewardship, but the where we need to start is with the understanding that there is a privilege of stewardship. Being a steward is a privilege. Notice what we are stewards of, first off, in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." As we talked about in the message this morning, what we are the stewards of is the gospel. And it is our responsibility as Christians to steward that gospel message to the ears of those that need to hear. Now, there's a whole lot more that goes beyond after the gospel is being preached. There is the idea of discipleship that comes along with that. If we were to just tell someone about the gospel, lead them to Christ, the Bible tells us that they are a newborn babe, that they are now babes in Christ. Well, what do babies need? All right, they need milk, clothes, diapers. They do need diapers to catch that milk. They got to have it. What? Baths. They got to have baths because they get messy in their diapers. Nurturing. You're saying you got to love the baby? So they need all of that. Babies need a lot, don't they? They need held. They need rocked. They need cared for. Babies, they just require a lot. They're a lot of work. In that, God has made us stewards. Not just to tell others about the gospel, but to care for those that we tell about the gospel. To walk them through the process. And it is a privilege to be able to do that. He says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That idea of faithfulness is one that is a continuing there. Would you say someone would be a faithful parent if they fed their children on Sunday only? No, I mean, where's Chloe at? There she is. Man, that girl, when we brought her home, she was hungry. And she ate. And ate about every 2 hours for the first 6 months of her life, didn't she? You can't tell it now, but Brother Don, when she was 6 months old, she weighed 26 and a half pounds. We have a picture. If you've been to our home, you may have seen it. She's in a little duck diaper cover, and she's turned around like this. And the rolls on her back. It's adorable. It wouldn't be adorable today, but that picture showed a sign of she's a healthy eater. But can I just tell you, if we just fed her on Sunday morning, she wouldn't have been 26 pounds. She may not have even been 6 pounds. I can tell you this, she wouldn't have lived. Think on that one for a moment. You see, we were entrusted the privilege of raising Chloe and Abigail. Abigail liked to eat too. She didn't eat quite as much as Chloe, but she ate. Asher, by the time he came, they took everything. So they didn't leave him much. And as you can see, Justice, he's so short, he didn't get much either. There wasn't much left after all that. But we've tried to care for each one of them. We've enjoyed the privilege of stewarding the children and feeding them, but there's something beyond this. I'm trying to illustrate something here, that as Christians, we're to tell others and steward the mysteries of God, the fact that Jesus Christ died. We're to preach the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ. But there's more after the gospel. Amen. There's more. And we are to be stewards in giving this. And it is a wonderful privilege, just as the privilege of raising children. We are to have a part in doing that. Now, let's talk about the call of God. in this aspect of being stewards. Because the fact of the matter is, we have been called by God to be stewards. And if a steward is going to be faithful in what he's doing, he's going to do it more than just on a Sunday or more than just on a Monday. It's actually an everyday process. Hey, let me ask you something. Are you an everyday Christian? Or just a church service Christian? How many of you know the difference? Okay, good. Most of you, most everybody knows the difference. That's wonderful. I'm glad I don't have to go through that. But you know what I mean then when I say you're either a church service Christian or you're an everyday Christian. And there is a difference between the two. The everyday Christian is one who is faithful in doing what is necessary here because we have been called to be Christians. I want you to hold your spot here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 because we're going to come back to it. But I want you to stay in the book of 1 Corinthians. I want you to go back to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because God has called us to something. And I want you to see this in chapter 1, in verse number 4. Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, wanting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Hold on a second. Didn't he just say in chapter 4 that a steward should be faithful? It's required. That of stewards, that they be faithful. Why? Well, God's faithful to you. Hallelujah. God is faithful to you. God is faithful by whom ye were, what's that word? One more time. Called. Wherein ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Oh, hold on. God is faithful. He's faithful. In verse 9, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want you to go over to chapter 4 again and keep that thought in mind there, that we're called to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of who? Christ. As the ministers of Christ. So we have been called into his fellowship, and now we are ministers of Christ. That means we are serving of him, out of him, from Jesus Christ. We're serving from him, of him. Oh, and stewards of the mysteries of God. That word, that idea of stewardship is we have been entrusted with something. We've gone over that. Stay in 1 Corinthians and go to chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're continuing to see this here. He says in verse number 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping of the commandments of God, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, that is he that is called being free as Christ's servant. Isn't that interesting? Whether you're a bondman or free, we're Christ's servants. You're bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Every member, every child of God has a call upon their life to be stewards. It's that simple. We've been called to be His stewards. We should do what we have been called to do. Again, if we are an everyday Christian, we ought to be considering, who am I discipling? Do I have someone that I'm discipling? If you are a parent, I think the first call that you have is to disciple your own children. I mean, call me old-fashioned maybe, but we want to use things and use the idea that we have of Sunday school. But can I tell you, the Sunday school teacher is not the main one responsible for educating your children on the Bible. Amen. And if you're trusting and just trusting in or just relying upon the Sunday school teacher to educate your children on the Bible, then your children are probably going to grow up and be biblically illiterate. Maybe I'm meddling now, I don't know. What I'm saying is, if they're just eating once a week, it's not enough. The church is here as an extension of your home. We want to do that. We want the Sunday school teachers to teach them the right thing. We want to teach them the right thing in the junior church and in the teen department. But look, it is your responsibility as a parent to educate your children in the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. They are the first call to stewardship. Your children. Grandparents. Are you helping steward your grandchildren in the Bible? We have that responsibility. See, it doesn't end. You say, well, I don't have anybody to disciple. Yeah, you probably do. You probably do. You just have to find them. See, I'm either going to be an everyday Christian or I'm going to be a church service Christian. I've got to find someone to steward. I've got to find someone that I'm going to give the mysteries of God and explain. You say, well, Pastor, you know, and it's possible. It is possible as a parent to grow up in church. And if your parents relied upon the Sunday school to train you and only use the Sunday school, you may say, Pastor, I don't know much about the Bible. It may be that we need to be stewarding in that as well. Let someone disciple you that you might disciple them. Amen. Well, I mean, wouldn't that just be too much Bible study? I mean, we really can't do that every day. No. That would be just too much. Well, it probably wouldn't be when you think about it. See, we've been called to be stewards. We're servants of the King, and let me tell you something. That is a privilege. It's a privilege. We get to serve the King. We've been called to be His stewards. Hey, here's the amazing thing. Number two, while we've been called to be His stewards, we've been cared for as stewards. Can I just tell you, no one ever cared for me like Jesus? I love that song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus did. Can I just make a comparison and let you know that my own mother didn't care for me the same way that Jesus did? And yours didn't either. See, my mother's still living. She didn't die for me. And I'm not belittling what my mother's done for me in my life. I'm just trying to make a comparison here that you would understand that, yeah, Jesus has done a whole lot more to care for us than what our own parents would do. From what you would say to your children, and I would say to my children, there's no one on this planet that cares for you more than I do. But Jesus isn't on this planet right now, is he? When we consider what Jesus, how he cares for us, he's given us enough instruction in the Word that we know what we are to do. He cares for us. In being a steward, in being a servant, the servant is a humbling role, isn't it? He tells them back in the passage here, not to be puffed up back in chapter 1. I want you to go back to chapter 4 and take a look at what he's going through here as he is going through this and humbling ourselves. He, in verse number 2, he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That no one of you be puffed up for against another." You see, while basically what we need to understand here is we're all called to the same thing. Now, Paul uses different illustrations through Scripture as he gives part of the body. He says, you know, he uses the illustration of, you know, can the whole body be the eye? If the whole body were the eye, how could we hear? Could the whole body be an ear? Could you imagine just an ear with legs? That's all you had? I mean, your whole head was an ear. You look really funny, wouldn't you, Bryson? I would. I mean, look at my ear. It's a funny-looking ear. I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, the ear, it's not even attractive. I mean, Brother Terry, you got nice ears. Anybody ever told you that? No. Scott, you got lovely ears. I bet Brittany's never even told you that. She even said no. No. I've never one time had my ears complimented. I wonder why. Could you imagine if all we had was an ear? No. You see, we have the same job, but yet we have different job descriptions. We've all been called and we've all been cared for, and we all must understand that we must humble ourselves as stewards, as servants, because it's a privilege to serve. It's a privilege to serve. So as we have been commanded, we've been called, we've been cared for, and we've been commanded as stewards to be faithful. Now I want to show you something out of 1 Peter chapter 5 to show you what happens as we're faithful. There is something to this, and it's a wonderful process. That as we are faithful, as His stewards, something's going to happen. And I want you to start back in verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What happens as stewards that are faithful, that are doing what God has called them to do? Well, we find here in 1 Peter chapter 5, the very first verse, he says there's elders, and we're in church, we're talking about church, we're going to talk about the structure of the church and in stewardship here. He says that as a witness, we witness the sufferings of Christ and also be the partakers of the glory. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now, there's we must illustrate this very carefully. Feed the flock of God. What does that mean? Feed the flock of God. Now, I will tell you, and I'm just going to use this as an illustration if I could, okay? And Rachel, just be ready, okay? Not everything that Rachel fixes for dinner do I like. She knows this, I know this. Not everything that she fixes for dinner do the kids like. And it's not because it's bad food, that's not what I'm saying. She's a wonderful cook. It's just sometimes she makes things that I don't like. Occasionally, she'll make Brussels sprouts. That was my kids. She'll make Brussels sprouts, and I'm like, I'm good. Occasionally, not much. She gets it more when she goes out, because I think she's the only one that likes it, but asparagus. No. You can have it all, dear. I want you to have that blessing of asparagus. I don't want it. You know, one of the things that she does not do, one, she doesn't fix my plate. I fix my own plate. Amen. But one thing she doesn't do is, one, she doesn't fix my own plate. She fixes the meal. But I come and put it on my own plate. And one thing she, the other thing she does not do is when I sit down, she does not put a bib on me, and she does not come over to the table and put it on a fork and say, okay, Aaron, open up. Thank you. We don't do that at our house. Brother Philip, does Doris do that for you? No? I could hear her airplane sound now. All right, Philip, open up. Can I just tell you, church is kind of the same way? I'm just here to prepare the meal. Whether you eat it or not, it's up to you. And I know occasionally you might not like what's fixed. I love going into people's homes and I see signs in kitchens that are like, you know, what's for dinner? Take it or leave it. You have that in your kitchen? Is that the philosophy? Take it or leave it? That was my parents' philosophy. You don't like it? That's fine. Don't eat it. But that's what we're having, Brother Don. Exactly. Is that Mason? Yeah. Okay, yeah. See, I mean, look, and it's, notice what we're talking about. We're talking about children here. Now, again, babies, they need that. Open up, Charity. Yeah, exactly. You know, here it comes. Look, church is not designed that way. We're to feed, but sometimes that feeding, and sometimes we'll, and we hear this from time to time. Well, that preacher just wasn't feeding me. Look, if you're not eating, it's not because we're not giving it. Amen. I'm just not being fed anymore. If you're not being fed, it's because you refuse to eat. I'm just saying, okay? Because it's prepared. It may not be what you like. It may not be what you want. But it's there to eat. Amen. And so, if anything, let me just teach you this. Again, it may be, if I come in and all I serve is cotton candy, it's still something to eat. It may not be substantive, but it's something to eat. And there's some cotton candy. I was told not too long ago. I sugarcoat things. I said, man, that's because you just come on Sunday morning. How's that for sugarcoating? I'm dead serious. That's exactly what I said. We put the real stuff out on Sunday night. I mean, look, if you're not being fed, it's because you're just not eating. It says, taking the oversight, again, there's an important word here, important phrase, not by constraint. I can't force feed you. Amen. I mean, we could, but it again, it's just not going to go over very well. Verse number 3. Not being lords over God's heritage. Can I tell you, you have to make your own decisions? It's not my job to tell you that's being the Lord. That's His job to tell you. Work, prepare the meal, get this done, get it out there, and at the same time, being an example, and I'll be the first to say, you know, I'm not always the right example. I want to be, but I'm not always. Verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Did you get that? We're to be subject one to another. We're to watch out for one another. We're to care for one another. We're to go through this process together. Likewise, ye subject, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Remember, we're stewards. We're servants. And if we're going to be servants, we must be humble. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. We've talked about this already, but casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It is God that cares for you. Don't miss that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, who's writing this book right here? Let's talk about discipleship real quickly again. Who's writing this book? Okay, God, but who's writing the book of 1 Peter? Who's penning this? Peter. Okay, So Peter's writing this book of 1 Peter. Didn't Jesus tell something to Peter about Satan? Well, he said, "Get thee behind me." But did he tell Peter something about Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat? And you know what? Peter was discipled. And now here's Peter discipling others as a steward. You see how that works? Jesus taught Peter something. Now Peter's teaching us something. It's amazing. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One second. We're to be faithful stewards, so if I'm faithful, I've got it awesome. Nothing's ever going to go wrong. Everything's good. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. That's cotton candy right there. It's not what Peter said. He said, whom resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, you're faithful, you're going to have afflictions. Really? Afflictions? But that doesn't sound right. You're going to suffer a little when you are faithful. Some may suffer a lot, but you're going to suffer. You're going to have trials. You're going to have temptations. You're going to be attacked. Yeah. That's why he said before all of that, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. But look what happens beyond that. I love this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but. Yeah. But the God of all grace, who hath. Hold on, he called you. What did he call us to be? Stewards. And he called us to be faithful. He says, yes, you're going to have suffering. You're going to have afflictions. You're going to have these trials. You're going to have these temptations. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Hey, you know what he's saying here? When you are faithful to what God has called you to do, you get to become a more mature Christian. Now look, I'll be the first to tell you that it is not one's age that brings maturity. I have met some immature 80-year-olds. Not few, or not many, but a few. Just immature. It happens. So age does not equal or guarantee maturity. Can I say I've met some mature 20-year-olds. Again, not many, but a few. Maturity does not come with age. He says, while you have suffered a while, make you perfect. The idea there of perfectness is mature. He says, not just mature, but established. Are you established in something? Are you established in the Word? He says, strengthened. Become a strengthened Christian. When we're faithful to what God has called us in, when we know that He has cared for us, when we are putting that message out again and again and again. He says, yeah, you're going to suffer. But with that comes maturity. With that comes an establishment. With that comes a strengthening. With that you can be settled. I like to be settled. I like to have my mind made up. I don't always have my mind made up, but I like to have my mind made up. I like to be settled. And one thing I can be settled on, and one thing you can be settled on, is the Word of God. You won't be settled on the Word of God without being in the Word of God, number one. Amen. You can't be. You've got to be in it. You've got to know it. You've got to study it. And you've got to tell others about it. That is how we work and serve as stewards. And let me tell you something. When we become mature, when we become established, when we get strengthened, when we become settled upon the Word, it's a privilege. And it's a glorious privilege that God has given to each one of us. From time to time, we abuse privileges, don't we? When I was in high school, I worked for a fella painting, and he hired a friend of mine and myself to paint a house for him. You know Larry McDonald, Stephen Arnold and I. And it was a big house, four stories. I mean, it was a monster of a house, and he wanted us to, all he needed us to do was finish two rooms. And he dropped us off and gave us the paint and gave us the supplies, and we said, man, we got this. He said, I'll be back in 6 hours. Just have everything done, cleaned up, ready to go. I said, absolutely. So we got in there and we started painting, and we realized, 6 hours? We need 6 hours to do this. We had fun. Big house, all to ourselves. We played hide and seek. Just two of us. A little weird, though, Don, but we did. We played hide and seek. We ran up the stairs, down the stairs. We discovered every square inch of that house. And it was, I'm telling you, it was a big, nice, fancy house. He came back in 3 hours. We had one wall painted. We heard him pull in. I don't remember where we were exactly, but we heard him. We heard his car door shut. Stephen looked at me and I looked at him. And we booked it upstairs. We grabbed our stuff and we're working. And he comes in. What are you doing? You've been at this for 3 hours. You got one wall painted. He was not happy. You know why? Because we abused the privilege. And he had every right to not be happy. If now I'm 38 instead of 17, if it were reversed, I would come in and I would not be happy. But at the time, I just thought, oh, you know. I'll tell you what it showed. It showed a lack of maturity, didn't it? Time in the world. And I tell you, sometimes we live our Christian life as if we have all the time in the world, but we don't. So, oh, we have 6 hours. Do we? He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. We don't know what we have. And it is imperative that we spend every moment as stewards, understanding the privilege that God has given to us, and not squander and not waste, that we might become mature, established, strengthened, settled for this reason. Verse 11, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It is required that a man be found, or steward, be found faithful. Every head bowed.